I'm going to introduce the man that's going to be delivering our lesson tonight. His name is Brother Tommy Brooks. He's the preacher for the Highland Heights Church of Christ. The title of his lesson tonight is Let Christ Draw You in 2022. John chapter 12. Brother Brooks, let the hammer down.
Thank you, Brother Williams. We're certainly thankful tonight to have each and every person on the call. We're so thankful to have all Brother Stry, Brother Wiggins, Brother Flunder working with me on this nationwide call. We thank you so very much for being on. What, especially if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we put this call on with you in mind tonight. We ask you to pay close attention to, as we'll talk about from the topic, Let Christ Draw You in 2022. We're entering into a new year. God blessed us to see 21 in and start up 22. And you're, if you're listening tonight, you're still alive and God has blessed you. So I'm encouraging you tonight to take notes of the things I've said tonight. That allow you to, that Christ to draw you to him in 2022. How does that occur? Jesus said in John chapter 3 and then verses number 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Then again in John chapter 12 and verse 32, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw, there's a key word there, draw all men unto me. There's a drawing power that Jesus had, and he had to be lifted up. What is Jesus talking about here? If you turn your Bibles in Numbers chapter 21 and verse number 1, the Bible tells us there in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 1, the Bible says that when King Arab, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel, took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God, against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loweth this light bread. And the Lord, notice here where we go now. Here comes the text that Jesus was referencing. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people. Imagine serpents biting people, snakes. And much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and sit upon a pole. Imagine it's a fiery serpent and set him up on a pole. And it came to pass, it shall come to pass, that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld, which means looked, the serpent of the brass, he lived. Remember now, let's go back to John chapter 3. Remember, that's what Jesus said. And as Moses, just like Moses, what did he do? He lifted up this serpent in the wilderness, as God told him to do. Jesus said that even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Just like what Moses was told to say to people, to lift up this serpent. Then Jesus is saying, even so the Son of Man be lifted up. Then he, in John 12, 32, he says, and I'm the one, you'll get lifted up. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw, here it is, all men unto me. Verse 33, this he said, notice what he was talking about, signified what death he should die. Now let me explain. For the children of Israel to be saved from those fiery serpent bites, they had to look at with a single vision at the fiery serpent on the pole. They couldn't look down. They had to look at that pole and focus on the pole. Remember, tonight I'm talking about let Christ draw you in 2022. The first point is that you got to be able to look at the drawing power of Christ. Now, for us to be saved from the fiery serpent, we got to know who the fiery serpent is. According to Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." Verse 2, "And he laid hold on the dragon." Notice who he is, that old serpent. There he is, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, his poisonous bite, the devil's poisonous bite, is sin. Sin, you all, bringing forth spiritual death. If you die in your sins, you will lose your soul. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So today in 2022, to the listening audience, if you don't look at this poll, if you will die in your sin, you will suffer the bite of that old serpent, the devil. So how in 2022, with everything we're seeing going on with the pandemic, people dying all around us, how are we going to save our families from this deadly bite of this old serpent called the devil, or Apollyon? He's called Abaddon. He's that old devil himself. He's Satan. He's tearing up our homes. Look at America. You look at homosexuality being posted all over the TV. Our children are noticing I can't see it now, on commercial. They're wide open with it. It's all against God. It's abomination. What about abortion and all the political corruption that we're seeing today? How are we going to save our homes? How are we going to save our families from the bite of this serpent, the killer that's killing our marriages and killing our children and causing our men to go to prisons and women to fall short of being submissive wives and women of God? God would be pleased. The deadly bite of this serpent will cause many people today to lose their precious souls upon their death. Jesus said that in John 8:21, if you die in your sins, in other words, he said, if you die from the bite of the serpent, he said, where I go, you cannot come. We know he's sitting on the right hand of God right now. He's in heaven. And if we want to go to heaven tonight, if you want to know, and you're listening tonight, how to get to heaven, I'm going to tell you that. But here's what you need to understand. You've got to have a single focus. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up that pole, I got to be lifted up from the earth to draw men. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. Now, let me explain. For the children of Israel to be saved from the fiery serpents, they had to look with a single vision at the fiery serpent on the pole, as I said. Now, we also must look at Jesus on the cross. We must be cross-eyed to see heaven. We must be cross-eyed in order to look and see our Savior on the cross. Yes, he's the one that's hanging up that we should be looking at. And he, I'm not calling him a serpent. It's as Moses. The point is that Moses lifted up what God told him to lift up. Jesus said, if I get lifted up like God told you to lift me up, I'll draw all men unto me. What are we saying here? Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, for he had made him to be sin for us. If you see the devil, you see sin. You see sin. What Jesus was dying for us, he became sin for us. That's why he said, if I get lifted up. He knew no sin. He did that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took the ultimate sting of death. He took the death of the cross, my friends. For us to be saved, Jesus had to go through the death on the cross. He had to die on the cross to save us from the bite of this devil, this thing called sin. If Jesus had not gone to the cross, we would all be bit and die. In our sins, just like those people back in Israel's time, when those snakes were biting them everywhere. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone to believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, Paul understood the gospel of Christ had something to do with the power. It by itself was the power of God unto salvation. That's what Paul was saying. So what is that gospel that that he was talking about? Well, he's talking about Jesus when he came to this world and lived among men. He walked among men for about 33 years. And then in the last 24 hours of his life, ladies and gentlemen, if I may walk you through the last 24 hours of his life, I'll take you to the pole. But you got to start to know and start thinking about now. I just want you to look at Jesus as you think about your life going forward in the year of 2022. If you want to go to heaven, Jesus said, I'm the drawing power. Let Christ draw you in 2022. What did he do? Well, he took his last supper, according to Mark, in Mark chapter 14, verse 22-26. He had the last Passover meal with his disciples. And then he left there after having that meal with them. He knew that he had to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus prayed to his Father, let this cup pass. He was talking about the cup of suffering that he would have to go through on the cross. But he understood in his will, it was not his will, but it was the will of his Father he wanted to accomplish. He said, not my will, but your will be done. When he left that Garden of Gethsemane, the next thing we find in this track, as I walk you to the cross, Jesus was betrayed by Judas, one of his own. Judas betrayed him in the garden, Mark chapter 14, 43-50. You can read that. Then he went to his first trial, trial one. He stood before Annas, the former Jewish high priest, for 16 years. Jesus received the first initial physical abuse from them. Then he moved from there. He went to trial number two. Christ stood before the current Jewish high priest, Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin court. Then he was in prison at Caiaphas' palace. Then he left Caiaphas' palace, and they took him to trial number three. And all the Jewish elders, including the high priest, scribes, and the whole Sanhedrin court, they decided in that trial to ask the Roman governor, Pilate, to kill Jesus. He stood before Pilate in trial number four. Hearing from the Roman governor, Pilate then, after talking to Jesus, said with his own mouth, I find no fault in this man. Then he left there and he went to trial number five. He stood before Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great, who had jurisdiction over Galilee. Jesus refused to answer any questions, but so Herod returned him quickly to Pilate. Now, in trial number six, he goes back to Pilate. Pilate repeatedly tried to release Jesus, but the Jewish leaders continued to object. Pilate physically tortured and scourged Jesus beyond recognition according to the Bible. And when he sees his visage, according to Isaiah 52, verse 14, 12-14, you find that his visage, because they used a whip, that whip had metal bones and fragments. They took Jesus and took his clothes off of him. I'm trying to get you to see where the drawing power is. He took the clothes off of him. They hit him with the whip. At the end of the whip, they have metal bones and fragments. It would wrap around the man. And it wrapped around Jesus. They dug into his flesh. And when they released the lictor, the man who had the whip in his hand, when he released that whip, it pulled flesh from his bone. That's why Isaiah said, by his stripes over here, because from those stripes of that whip came the blood that's going to save the souls of mankind. That's what happened to him. He was suffering now. And then he leaves there. He's beat beyond recognition, seeking to satisfy the Jewish leaders. However, the Jews demanded that, and Pilate was seeking to satisfy those Jewish leaders, but however, the Jews demanded that Jesus be crucified. That wasn't good enough. The whipping wasn't good enough. Can't you see why Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw. Look at him. He's bloody. Pilate released him. And by eventually he gave the order to go ahead on and execute him. Now, from there, Pilate's Roman soldiers take Jesus into the court and enjoy mockery. They mocked him. They spit upon him. They talked about him. They tortured him, including driving the crown of thorns into his skull. Then Jesus was forced to cross, to take the pole on his back. The pole would be the cross. He took the pole, you all, and he's walking up that hill, and he's getting going to Calvary. They call it the place of the skull. That's where he's headed. He's carrying the pole. It's the pole we want to talk about now. He's carrying the pole, and he's headed to the cross. And when he get up on the cross, the soldiers would take the nails and drive them in his hand. Please Pay attention now to the drawing power of Christ. The nails are in his hands. The nails are in his feet. They lift him up and between the twilight of two worlds, a thief who was guilty on the left and a thief who was guilty on the right, but the innocent one in the middle, the man in the middle, is the man that's going to be on the pole. It's the man that's going to be on the pole that's going to draw us to him. He said, if I be lifted up, they took that pole after driving the nails in his hands and feet, and they lifted up our Lord. They lifted him up on the cross. Can you see him on the cross? He's hanging there, and he's suffering. He's suffering. I was reading one time in a doctor's description of what Jesus was going through, or if someone would go through it and be crucified. Allow me to read this description that a medical doctor wrote of what the body would go through, what physically suffering. That's why Jesus said in Luke 24:46, thus it is written, thus it behooves Christ to suffer. Many often preach Christ and his love, but they don't preach his suffering. They preach Christ as a Savior, they won't preach his suffering. I wonder why people won't preach his suffering. Can't you see when he was on the cross, the doctor said this, a man is hanging on that cross like that. He's a victim. The victim was slowly sagged down with more weights on the nails in his hands. Excruciating, fiery pain shoots along the fingers and up the arms to explode in the brain. The nails in the hands are putting pressure on the median nerves. As he pushes himself up to avoid the stretching torment, he places the full weight on the nail through his feet. Again, he feels the searing agony of the nail tearing through the nerves between the bones of his feet. And as his arms fatigue, cramps sweep through his muscles, knotting them, deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With these cramps comes the inability to push himself upward to breathe. Can you see him? Air can be drawn into his lungs, but not exhaled. The doctor said the person would fight to raise himself in order to get even one small breath. Then he says, finally, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and in the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subsided. Spasmodically, the doctor says, the person is able to push himself upward to exhale and bring in living, life-giving oxygen. Hours of limitless pain, 6 hours for our Lord, cycles of twisting, joint-wrenching cramps, intermittent physical asphyxiation, searing pain as tissue is torn from the lacerated back as he moves up and down the pole, which was rough timber. Then again, the doctor says, at the end of this, all this suffering, a deep crushing pain would occur in the chest of the individual. As the pericardium, that's the lining around the heart, would fill with serum and began to compress the heart. It is now, the doctor says, almost over the loss of tissue fluid. It's almost over. His life is about to end. He has a critical level. The compressed heart is struggling to pump the heavy, thick, sluggish blood into the tissue, the tortured, the lungs, making frantic effort to gasp in small gulps of air. He said the crucified one would feel the chill of death creeping through his tissues. Then finally, the doctor said he allows his body to die. And the Bible records with simple words, they crucified him. They crucified him. Were you there when they crucified our Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Tremble, tremble. Why would he have to die such a horrible death? So you and I could be free from this serpent. Could be free from dying in our sins. And Isaiah wrote long before he died. In Isaiah 53:4, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet he did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. See, what's going to draw us to the cross? I'm going to say something to you that I want you to take in tonight. If you can't love God the Father for sending his own son, his only son, then you won't make heaven your home. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, not shall not, like many of them say today, and maybe you say that. Bible don't say shall not. Shall not means all you got to do is believe. But Jesus says, should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus was coming to save the world, and he had to be lifted up on the pole of the cross. And the preaching of the cross is what's going to save the world today. Is people got to see Jesus. They got to love his Father for sending him. And Jesus said himself, greater love had no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus died. And what God wants us to do is to love him for sending him, and then love his son for suffering on that cross, on that pole. And Jesus said, if you would see me on the pole, if you can see it, it ought to make you want to cry. If you can see how much he suffered, it ought to make you want to come to him. If you see how much pain he was in, it ought to make you want to say, God, what must I do to be saved? You ought to know this. You ought to be thinking about it. So many people want Jesus and his love, but they don't want to understand, accept the fact that he had to suffer in order for us to be saved. And all of us as gospel preachers should be preaching so people understand that Jesus came and he paid the price. He paid the price with his own life. He hung on that cross. He stayed on the cross. He didn't come down from the cross. He could have called angels. He could have called 10,000 of them. He didn't. He could have stopped those soldiers from driving the nails. He didn't. He could have got down from that cross. He didn't. He stayed there. What was he standing there for? Because he knew that he would be the drawing power of the world. It would be him that would draw us to him. And if you can love him for that, then you can understand that when he gives a command, and because you love him, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. So what command did he give for us to be saved as I close? It was in Mark chapter 16. And verse 15 and 16, where Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what I've done tonight. And when you preach in the gospel, you have to preach the pole. You have to preach the cross so people's hearts can be pricked. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2. When Peter was preaching to the people, they witnessed with their own eyes. They saw him on the cross. They knew what crucifixion was about. America do not know. We've never saw a crucifixion. I try to paint the picture for you tonight, but you got to see it with your mind, eye, faith. You got to see him on that cross. You got to see the blood coming down his face, coming down his body. You got to see him in pain. They took his clothes off of him. They was gambling on his clothes, so he was naked on that pole. He was there for you and I. Look at the humiliation. Look at the agony that he went through. And Jesus said, preach that to him. Tell him I died. Tell him how I died. And I was buried. And I rose again the third day with all power. Matthew 28:18. He said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And in Mark 16, he said, he that believe it, that story that you never saw with your own eye, you believe it by faith, because it's written in his book. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you believe Jesus hung on that cross for you? Do you believe he was on that pole? Will you focus on him in 2022? Focus on him. Then if you believe it, Jesus said, baptize you. And Peter, when he's preaching those people, when they were pricked in the heart, like I'm hoping, pricking you in your heart, the things that he died for, the things you're doing in your life that are sinful, he died to save you from those very things. When these people realized that they had killed Jesus, they had crucified him, they had executed him, they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter told them, here's the answer, repent. repent of the wrong you've done. And I'm saying you're 2022. This night, you can repent of the wrongs you've done in your life. And then Peter told him, here's the answer. After you repent, repent, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of your sin. So, my friend, let Christ draw you to him in 2022, believing that he suffered to save you. And if you believe that, then number one, you have heard it tonight. You heard it from the word of God. That's what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Acts 15, 7 says we must hear the word of the gospel. Specifically, we must hear the preaching of the pole. The preaching of the cross must be done to save this world, my friend. That's what Paul said. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that is saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1, 17, 18. And so that's what I did tonight, preaching of the cross. Then if you believe he actually died on that cross, then you'll repent. You say, well, I need to change, Brother Brooks. I need to change going into 2020. I would say yes. I would say yes. As a young lady did last week, she'd been listening to our program. She finally came to the decision to change her life, and we baptized her just last week. Someone invited her to hear this call. You've been invited tonight. Will you decide before you go any further in this year to let Christ draw you? Let that love from the cross draw you to him. Jesus told us, he said, if I get lifted up, I'll draw you. If you can see him, his love is drawing you. His pain is drawing you. His suffering is drawing you. If you believe that, then you'll be willing to confess him to be the Son of God. He said that, if you confess me before men, I confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I'll deny you. And number five, he said, repent and be baptized. After you make that noble confession, you got to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. It's in baptism where you contact that same blood that came out of Christ, according to Revelation 1:5. Jesus said that himself, the blood would wash your sins away. Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul, arise, why tarriest thou? Be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You can't call the name of the Lord until you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in him this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And lastly, as I close, that the same one who hung on the cross, according to Acts 2:47, said the Lord will add you to the church. And there's only one church in this book, my friends. Paul's talked about it in Romans 16:16. He says, salute one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ. Salute you all across this nation, all across this world. There are congregations of churches of Christ who are preaching this sound doctrine that I'm saying, I'm preaching tonight. That there is but one Lord, but one faith, but one baptism, but one God and Father of all, who's above all, in you all, and but one body, that body, is the church. That's found in Ephesians 4:4-6. That one body is this church, according to Colossians 1 and the verses number 18. Colossians 1 and verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and following verses, you can read where there is but one body, and that body is the church. Now, if you believe in one God and you believe in this book, then you have no problem believing in one church, because the same book talked about one God, telling us there is but one church. And that is the church of God. We don't apologize for that. That's what's in the book. Now, if you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of that church, of the Church of Christ, and you're getting ready to go into 2022, you cannot, on your deathbed, be saved. You've got to be saved when you hear and believe. You can't pray a prayer to be saved. You've got to obey as Jesus commanded. He commanded you to be baptized. Believe and be baptized. Then he adds you to that one church, which is the Church of Christ. And you live faithful unto death. And to those of us who are members of the Church of Christ, that same pole that he hung on should keep us in the church. It should keep us coming to the Lord and thanking him for all he's done. With that being said, we're so thankful tonight. If you have questions about anything I've said, we're going to turn it back over to our co-host. We ask you tonight, if you're considering salvation, please, please consider this. Let Christ draw you in 2022. May God bless you. That's my letter.